Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome in to the All Things Bama Podcast. I am your host, Mason Woods, and as always, I am joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. We've got a fun show today, a lot to get into from this past week, but before we do any of that, I've got to remind you all to follow both Joe and myself on Twitter, at JoeGaither6 and at MAWoods_. Make sure you follow the show and give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you get your podcast from, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. Make sure you also go follow the Joe Gaither Show, rate it 5 stars as well, and you can hear whatever we miss on today's program. On today's show, I do have a few things. I want to open things up, as I do a lot of times, with some recruiting updates. Alabama had a very busy week on the recruiting trail, so we'll run through everything that's happened since we last met last week. I want to also get into a bit of what was said at the Regents Tradition this week. Kalen DeBoer, Nate Oates, and Nick Saban all spoke with the media. But did they really give us anything? We will get into that. Finally, I want to also spend a bit of time talking some basketball, as two former Crimson Tide stars have secured their spots on WNBA rosters, and another confirmed his intentions to stay in the NBA draft this week. But before we do any of that, I've got to ask, Joe, how you doing?
Oh, doing great. We are putting in this Friday episode right now up onto all our about platforms, so I'm really, really appreciative of everything you do for us every day, helping us. And I'm looking forward to the weekend. You getting out of town? You want to reveal that? It's okay.
Yeah, headed to Atlanta this weekend, me and the wife. We're going to a concert. I don't even know what band it is. Someone that she listens to. I think she listens to them when she was younger, and then they're doing like a
reunion
type thing, I think.
Okay. So, you're getting some husband points. I love it.
Yeah, probably. We're going to do that tonight. Concert is tonight, and then tomorrow we're going to be hitting the town. I got the little Atlanta Day Pass thing. Going to do the Coke Museum.
Okay,
zoo,
great.
Aquarium and everything. So it'll be fun. It'll be a good weekend.
There you go. Atlanta.
Get away from things a little bit, just for a touch. But I want to start today's show. I want to get right into some recruiting talk right off. I want to hit this right off the bat. Like I said, Alabama had a pretty busy week on the recruiting trail. You're really starting to kind of pick things up here. Summer is dead period for a lot of things, but on the recruiting trail, it really starts to pick up. This is official visit season. Alabama's getting ready to welcome a lot of guys here on campus over the next 4 or 6 weeks or so. So hopefully some big news coming down the pipeline. And this week, it seems like it potentially set a lot of that up. So they started the week off, I think it was on Tuesday. Alabama's named a finalist for 4-star linebacker Malik Morris. I believe I talked about him on Joe Gaither's show. From Lakeland, Florida, 6'1", 225 pounds, 31 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and a sack in 2024. Was named the Big School's Defensive Player of the Year by the Florida Ledger. I believe that is like the highest level of high schools there in Florida. They take a pool of players, and he was selected out of there. So seemingly a pretty solid player. He's down to Alabama, Miami, Georgia, Texas A&M, Missouri, and Florida. So I got to like double dip a little bit on that this week with the Missouri and Alabama.
It was pretty sweet. That. There you go. One. There you go.
Like I said, don't know a ton about this guy. Don't think he even has an official visit locked in with Alabama yet. That will, if I had to guess, be coming down, the pipeline pretty soon. Usually how this goes, these guys get their offer, and then within the next week or two, they kind of usually get an official visit locked in. So we'll see how that goes, and I'll keep everybody updated. We'll probably be able to talk about it on next week's show if I had to guess. But also this week, Alabama, and this was very exciting to me, Alabama dips into the 2027 class. You know, they have done that kind of a little bit over the last couple months or so, but haven't been super, super active. But they did this week. They got into the 2027 class, extending a scholarship offer to one of the top prospects in the entire nation, five-star wide receiver Monshon Sales. This dude's electric. 6'5", 195 pounds. Exactly what we, you know, what Alabama has been targeting receiver-wise since Kalen DeBoer stepped onto campus. Big, lanky, athletic, can make guys miss, can make contested catches, extremely wide catch radius. 34 receptions for almost 600 yards and 7 touchdowns last year, averaged almost 20 yards a catch. So, like, you know, wasn't the feature guy, but when he was thrown at, he was making plays, and he was making big plays. I think this is a guy that, you know, probably as he enters his senior year or his final year, next year of high school, will be a very impactful player. I think this is potentially a candidate to maybe reclassify. We will see. He's a very, very highly touted prospect. We will get, you know, as the year progresses, we'll have to just kind of see what happens there. A lot of those guys have already kind of made those decisions, so we will see. But I think he maybe could do it. Like I said, just really, really electric. I think he's
huge in this tape.
Yeah, he is. Like, you watch it. Yes, that obviously is the first thing that jumps out at you, is just how freaking big he is.
Oh,
but he's very athletic. He's super fluid in his movement. I think he talked to Steve Wiltfong this week from On3 and told them that he's super high on Alabama. I think he said Alabama was like his dream school growing up or something like that. So we'll have to see what happens there. Obviously, a lot of time before he makes his final decision, but maybe Alabama getting the early jump on one of the top prospects in the 27th
class.
Nah,
like this. His second clip right here is not receiving. It's blocking.
Love that.
Yeah, they got an arrow to it. Ball comes out to his side, and he's kind of faced up on the corner. And I guess when he realizes, the ball carrier is behind him, he crushes the corner.
Fantastic. Give me more of that.
He just crushes him, and the running back runs right past
him. Good stuff. We'll always love a guy that's willing to get his head in there and block somebody as a wide receiver. That is what's going to get you on the field.
No block, no rock.
Yes, 1,000%. So that was some good news for Alabama. A lot of good news for Alabama this week, but we did have a bit of unfortunate news. I think it was Thursday, you miss out on four-star running back Jonas Walton, or Wednesday, you miss out on four-star running back Jonas Walton, who announces that he will be committing to Notre Dame and is officially canceling his other official visits this summer. He was supposed to be here, I think, on May 30th with a group of about 12 or so guys that are going to be in Tuscaloosa, but he has canceled that. And this is a guy that I didn't think Alabama was going to get, but I was hopeful that they could, because he is very, very good. 3 seasons of varsity football, 4,700 rushing yards, 56 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards receiving, and 7 more touchdowns. Like, the guy can do it all. He can catch out of the backfield. He can run guys over. He can make guys miss in the open field. He can get to the edge as a running back. Like, he can just do everything. I think he's 5'9", right around 200 pounds. So more compact frame, but he uses his compact frame extremely well. He is very slippery, hard to bring down, has great contact balance. I think Notre Dame probably got him one here. We will see. I think the tide probably turns their attention now to Xavier Crowell, a guy that I've mentioned a lot of times on this program, a guy that I've mentioned a lot of times on the Joe Gaither Show. Was here for A-Day recently. Changed his commitment date, has not announced what it's going to be, but just announced that he will not be committing in December any longer. I think he told, I want to say it was Brett Greenberg of 247 Sports this week, that it is going to be coming soon. Don't know what that means. That could mean anything. That could mean a month from now. That could mean tomorrow. There's really no telling with these prospects, so, you know, we'll try to stay on top of it as we can, and we will let the folks know when that happens. I think it's a pretty good chance that Alabama lands him, though. It seems like every sign I am reading is kind of pointing toward Alabama for Xavier Crowell. So we will have to just find out.
Yeah, you move your commitment around shortly after your A-Day appearance. I think that those two factors make me think, oh, Alabama's in a good spot.
Yeah, usually a pretty good sign. So, you know, another good sign for Alabama now. One of their, and this guy has been a top defensive prospect on their recruiting board, I think, for months now. 5-star linebacker Xavier Griffin officially announces his decommitment from USC on Thursday, or maybe it was Wednesday. It might have been Wednesday evening. Regardless, he had been committed since July of 2024, and I think most signs are pointing Alabama here. Has been heavily pursued by the Crimson Tide. They've been out to visit him 2 times in the last 3 weeks. Christian Robinson and Courtney Morgan out on the recruiting trail being, doing their thing out there. Courtney Morgan, Christian Robinson doing their thing on the recruiting trail. They have been
junior college two of the guys that have been probably
and has
the
now
recruiters
for Alabama
there.
Under this regime.
Why can't we get anything out of him?
And they are hopefully going to make this happen because I think this is a player score, similar, like I was saying, with Jonas Walton. Like
two spots.
This is a player right here. You want this guy.
Jones
can do just about everything from a linebacker perspective. He can rush the passer. He can drop back in coverage. He can stop the run. Very athletic, very dynamic.
Sponsoring the program.
Has the ability to, like I said, play as a stand-up linebacker and also get his hand in the dirt if you need him to. Number two linebacker in the entire nation. 43 tackles, 13 tackles for loss, and 6 sacks last season in only 8 games. So just a really electric player. I think this is one that Alabama... You know, it needs to be like all resources ahead. Let's go get this guy. Make sure he's here.
Yeah, and you've seen USC. USC has lost a handful of big time targets from the state of Georgia. Oh man, they just stick over on the West Coast.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing trying to come over here.
But don't you going from last year's class to this year's class? Do you view Xavier Griffin right as an example of what the staff can do? Last year, everybody was, oh, they don't know anybody in the South. All these recruits are from California. Mm-hmm. Well, to me, I see Xavier Griffin as a guy who, this is an example of when we have 12 months to get to know some of these kids, we'll start to flip them.
Absolutely. I think they've done, you know, and I said it when people were complaining at the time, like,
You're good. Catch your breath.
These relationships just take time. It just takes time for these coaches to get these relationships with not only, you know, the players, the prospects, their families, but high school coaches, you know, everyone involved with these players' lives, like Courtney Morgan, Christian Robinson, you know, Chuck Morrell, Caitlin, all of these coaches, like they are out talking to these guys. They're out making these connections, you know, connecting with these prospects. And I think, yeah, it just takes time. And we are seeing that come to fruition now that it's been a year and some change, whatever it's been. I feel very good about where this staff is on the recruiting wise. I think they've got a embarrassment of wealth as far as recruiters go. I don't know. There's really a weak link on the staff. I think all of these guys kind of have the ability to go out on the road and talk to these kids and recruit them and make them want to come to Alabama. It's been, you know.
When you get to lean on guys like Ha Ha Clinton Dix and. Yeah. You get to lean on guys like Denzel Duvall and even your defensive line coach like Freddie Roach, who can tell you this is where Alabama football can take you.
Yeah. I'm
excited, but I hope they land this Griffin kid.
I hope they do too. And another guy that I hope they land is 5-star edge rusher Anthony Jones from St. Paul's Episcopal in Mobile, the number 2 player in the state of Alabama. I think he's the number 3 edge rusher in the class.
You don't let that fellow out of the state.
Locks in his official visits for this summer. Alabama earns the last official visit
Perfect.
Of the summer. It will be Auburn. He's going to kick things off with Auburn on May 16th, then goes to Miami May 30th, Texas A&M June 5th, Oregon on June 13th, and finishes the summer with Alabama on June 20th.
So he's not going to Auburn. That's what that tells
me.
He
is, May 16th. Yes. I thought you were saying yes. Okay.
He's going to Auburn just get one up by Miami and by Oregon, and then for Alabama to have the final word.
And he's going to Auburn just for appearances, you know, just for looks. That's what it seems like. You know, just behind Sadarian Morgan, another guy that we've talked about a lot in this program, just behind him for the number 1 overall spot in the state as far as a prospect goes. An excerpt, here's just a little excerpt from 247 Sports Scouting Report on him, like they rave about this guy. Greg Biggins said, we'll be on the short list. I'm talking about the best edge rushers in the 26 class. Ceiling is extremely high, and if he stays healthy and continues to develop at his current rate, there's no reason why he won't be playing on Sundays for a very long time. I think he's exactly right. You watch the guy's highlights, it's insane. Like, he is just absolutely dominant. Like you said, this is just not a guy you let get out of the state of Alabama. You absolutely have to go get this guy. You've already got 2 edge rushers in next year's class. Doesn't matter. Go get this guy. Get another one because he's going to be the best one.
Yeah, I think that you have to. In the same way that I just said praise the team, the program for making relationships. Now that you have had 12 months, you need to get the elite talent in your state. Last year, everybody who cried about. You ain't getting the Alabama kids in the 25 sure. class. Naeem Alford, of course you would have loved to get Naeem Alford. You would have. But, like, you were just really behind the eight ball on an elite prospect. You got to – with the elite guys, you just got to kind of You've already worked with the California kids. Let's go ahead and secure those guys. Now that you've had time, this will be a guy that I think that you're expected to at least land. If he transfers out later or if he busts or if he doesn't work out, but you got to get him on campus. And you, I guess the only if he goes to Oregon or Miami, you're probably like, all right, money, development, opportunity, not that big of a deal.
Just Auburn. It's
Auburn or Georgia.
Worst case scenario.
Auburn, Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, any of those kinds of programs, you got to be beating those kinds of programs.
Absolutely. And I think this staff, you know, is showing that they can do that, hopefully, with this recruiting cycle. We will, you know, we'll have to see. Obviously, they've done a decent job, have five commitments right now. We will have to see what happens. A lot of guys, I think over eight or nine prospects in the last just like 2 or 3 weeks have named Alabama as a finalist, and all of them being 4 or 5 star prospects. So, looking pretty good for, you know, hopefully a busy summer for Alabama on the recruiting trail. Like I said earlier, they've got a massive crop of prospects coming at the end of this month, another massive route coming a week later in June, and then the following week in June as well. So you can see the full list on Alabama, on Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. I've been writing about it all week. You can go check it out there. But let's move off of recruiting now. Touch on some of the other juicy stuff from this week, if you can even call it that. The region's traditional. All three.
So juicy.
Yeah, so much good stuff from this. Nick Saban, Kalen DeBoer, Nate Oates all take the course on Wednesday. Saban gave us, I mean, don't even know why he talked to the media. He talked so briefly. It was like a minute and a half of content he gave. Was asked about President Trump's commission to help solve some of the problems facing college athletics, but did not seem like he had really any information to provide. And I guess that shouldn't surprise me, because why would he, you know, why would I have expected anything to have happened in that department at this point? But who knows? I was hopeful maybe the ball would get rolling there sooner than later, but we will see. Nick Saban, you know, like I said, was asked about it. He said, I don't really know what this commission would do. I think we know what needs to be done. I just think we've got to figure out who has the will to do it. You know, I learned one thing about coaching all these years is that when you get into a subject like this that's very complex, it's probably good not to talk about it off the cuff. So I'll find out more. Very diplomatic answer from Coach Saban. Wouldn't have expected anything less from him. But what are we now? 2-3 weeks removed? 2 weeks removed from that story breaking?
Yeah, so he was in.
Had no information further, which, again, I should have expected this. We said it at the time it was going to take a long process.
This is 101 for him. Yeah. This is, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be political, but we're going to do something. It sounds awesome. Yeah. No follow-up.
Yeah, I imagine this will take a long time to come to fruition, if it comes to fruition at all.
At all.
We'll just have to see, though.
This was, I'm in town with my man Nick Saban. You can help me. Yeah. You can help college football. I'm going to say this headline and score some points.
Probably, but we will have to see.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be so neutral. Because Nick Saban would be good for this. And
absolutely.
President Trump, that's probably a good idea. But
seems like the framework for it, getting Nick Saban, the guy from Texas Tech, is probably all right moves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to be praiseworthy, but like, Nick Saban said, I don't know what
seems
we're
like,
doing.
Yeah, it seems like Nick Saban's not heard a word about it since that day at graduation. And again, maybe that's just him not wanting to give anything away. Maybe we'll find out more later. We would just have to see, like I said, about a lot of things. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'll say that. I trust Nick Saban's opinion if he's going to be heading something like that. Just don't know if it's actually going to come to fruition. But Kalen DeBoer also spoke with the media, again, fairly briefly. Did not give us a whole lot. Touched on how he feels about the roster heading into this summer. Said, it's never perfect, but it feels like we're in a good spot as we head into the summer. I mean, yeah, that's. I think he's really, has he finally started to fully pick up on the, you know, is he mastering his coach speak from Coach Saban now? He's another quote. Oh, Lord. On the quarterback competition, the competition always continues. That's this year, and that's every year. I think the biggest thing for them is that they've all got to keep getting better for us to accomplish what we want as a team. Of course, being quarterback-driven in a lot of ways, and personnel-driven too, but the quarterback position needs to keep progressing, so this summer they've all got to keep getting better.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it, it's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You'd say that about any quarterback you ever coached?
I mean, just...
In peewee, in middle school, in high school?
Said absolutely nothing with that.
You could say... You know who he's talking about? He's talking about the three quarterbacks at County High getting ready for the next year. I don't think he's talking about the Alabama quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Like, it's his coach speak is different from Saban's, but it's all the same.
Yes.
I don't, it's got a different tone about it. You know, it's not as intimidating. It's not as, like, matter of fact, maybe, but it's all the same stuff. Just says a whole lot of words
it's
without saying any
niceness.
Words. Yeah.
It's cloaked, it's cloaked in Midwestern politeness, kind. And he is kind. I'm not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
He's super nice.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's trying to, like, not answer the questions. I think it's just ingrained in him. And so for him, he goes home and he thinks, man, I answered all those questions real good. I gave them what the... But like...
I think he gives his family coach speak. And his daughter asks him for help with some homework. And he's like, well, if you analyze it these two ways, we're going to look at it like this. And he just goes off on some whole spiel. And then at the end, never provides an actual answer for anything.
No, I bet you he get nitty gritty. Get PEMDAS with the daughter. high school PEMDAS.
He probably is just a freak.
You got parentheses,
flow state,
exponents.
Oh, yeah, but Kalen DeBoer, you know, did not give us a whole lot. You know, he talked a little bit about the tight ends. You know, you bring in the two guys, Jackson Marco from West Virginia, Brody Dalton from Troy. Don't think either of them are going to be overly impactful. I would imagine both of them kind of just split the Robbie Utes role from last year. Seems like what's kind of going to be happening there. If they get on the field at all, we will just have to see.
Yeah, I'm... When Katie was on with us the other day, I think she's
probably right
that they're just going to be depth pieces. That you had the entire fall or entire spring basically without anyone. If Cuevas is recovered, well, Cuevas can play either tight end role. Danny Lewis, if he's recovered, he can play your move tight end role.
Yeah,
and so really, you're just looking at Samarco. You're looking at Jay Lindsey. You're looking at. Maybe Jay Hobson, who's come in. But I'm with Katie that I think that this is just throwing darts on a wall, making sure the room is full.
Yeah, probably. You know, you didn't lose anybody, like we've said a bunch of times. You did not lose any scholarship players to the transfer portal. So not like it's not like there was a ton of holes to fill on
right,
this team.
Right.
So you went out and filled the only maybe hole that you had at the tight end position. And it was, like you said, really just because of injury. But finally, Nate Oates taught his turn with the media. And spoke the longest of all the coaches, probably gave us the most of any of the coaches, while still strangely giving us almost nothing at all. I don't know how he does it. Nate Oates does his typical Nate Oates thing, gives a very lengthy opening statement in which he basically tries his best to address any possible thing that someone could ask a question on so that no one has any questions for him. And he did a pretty dang good job. Touched about, oh, we've got this many guys on the roster. We've got 11 guys on the roster. We could have 12, but we feel like we could probably go with 11 or, you know, whatever. Or we got 12 guys. We feel like we could get 13, but I think we're okay with 12 if we need to go with 12. Whatever it is. Saw some, you know, talked about injuries last year. Talked about Houston Millett, Latrell Reitzel. I think both of those guys' recovery is going okay. It's not really – didn't really give us a ton of details there. He spoke about roster or is not roster, scheduling philosophy, and you said it yesterday on your show. Like, the man just can't help himself. He's talking again, you know. Oh, we're gonna have the hardest schedule. We want to have the hardest schedule. I think it worked out for us last year. What was it? Okay. We're gonna try to have the best schedule in the country again. Maybe. I think tough schedules have worked for us. You look at the success we've had. We've had the number one strength schedule in the country over the last 2 years. But 2 years ago, when it was really tough, we lost three straight non-conference games. We still ended up going to the Final Four. So I believe we're the only team in the country that's played in the last two Elite Eights. So I think it works. I can't argue with them, but like it's infuriating. Because we saw it a little bit this year, that fatigue at the end of the season.
Yeah, he's...
He makes good points. You are the only team in the country that's been to two straight Elite Eights.
I just wish you'd back off like two games. Like one or two like, games like in December.
Did we have to schedule St. John's, you know?
What happened was Stephen the SID or whoever who's Madison Square Garden.
The Mecca.
Like that's all you need to say to me. I'm saying this like Coach Oates couldn't say no. I would not. You say, Joe, you can go coach your team and Matt. Yep, doesn't matter. Whatever the date, whatever the opponent, we're there. We'll drive. We will walk. I'm just such a sucker for it. But like, doesn't matter who.
I would do the same thing. Put the Knicks
in there. Let's go.
Yeah, I'd probably say the same. You know, you talk about that. Do you see all the Celtics fans getting mad? This is vague, very, very loosely related. Madison Square Garden, you know, all the Celtics fans getting mad at Rick Pitino for basically rooting for the Knicks this week, even though he formerly coached the Celtics.
No.
and I think it's all mostly recruiting fodder because he is a man that coaches a lot of games in Madison Square Garden, being the coach of the St. John's Red Storm. But, you know, tweets out this, oh, you know, nothing better than when the fans in the Garden are rocking, let's go Knicks or something like that. You know, I just saw so many Boston fans. Oh, this, blah, 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 blah. You know, doing their typical Boston
thing. They can't handle anything. Can't handle any slight.
I hope so much that the Knicks beat the Celtics. You know, I never want to root for injury, but Jason Tatum going down with his Achilles tear certainly helps their chances. We will just have to see, though, but it's not an NBA show. let's see. Did Nate Oates, I know I had one more thing from him. I talked about point guard depth. This I did want to ask you a little bit because it's something we talked about on your show briefly. I think we both are maybe on opposite sides here where I think it's okay. I feel, you know, again, cautiously optimistic about what we're going to look at this season with this roster and kind of what you have here. Nate Oates said, you know what we'd like to get? Obviously, we think Latrell Wright, so in Houston, Millett can play a little point guard. That's definitely a bit of an issue. Holloway is there as well. He also mentioned his second year and how the team played without a true point guard, relying on a combination of guys like John Petty, Primo, Jaden Shackleford, and even more guys that were kind of just a point guard by committee. And then he also said, let's see, so we can play where you've got a big creating wing, which if you look at some of what we've done and maybe what we're going to bring in and what we're looking at. But yeah, we don't necessarily have to play with a point guard with the way we play and kind of how we have multiple handlers playing as fast as we do. You know, it seems like a lot of it is just him, Nato's alluding to, well, we don't need a point guard. We'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't think I agree with that, Coach. Now, as I said on my show, I have very, very, very minimal basketball coaching in my history. I'm nervous. Now, I am not seeing what the roster looks like in practice. I'm not seeing him run point forward action in practice every day. Now, we will, hopefully, if they open up a practice early November like they have, great. And maybe I'll feel a whole lot better.
Yeah.
But my unfamiliarity with the current roster makes me think, oh, which forward are you going to put the ball in their hands?
He said something that I thought was pretty interesting when he was kind of talking about the construction of the roster and how you look at it and you want to have like thirds. You want to have a third of returning players, a third of guys from the transfer portal, and a third of new freshmen coming in. I guess, yes, that's kind of just the attitude you have to have in the current state of college basketball because you're going to lose so many players year after year to the transfer portal. But I don't know. I would think that your philosophy should be maybe trying to have more returning players than just a third. Quote intrigued me a little bit. It seems like that's basically the route Alabama's taken this year. You have three, four guys returning. You've gotten three, four guys out of the portal, and you have three, four guys coming in. So I don't know, though. That was interesting to me. Really, that's all I can say. It was just an interesting way that he looks at it, I guess.
Isn't that almost kind of the year prior also? Yet Mark Granton, Modi, and Jarrett, he had four instead of three, I think. But almost the same amount.
I guess it's just the way it is. Like
he's just new college basketball.
You got to turn the page every year.
Gross.
Oh, yeah. That's all I've got on Nate Oates, though. Before we get out of the show today, I want to touch on just a few quick topics. I think this is something that many of us expected, but it has officially been confirmed that LeBaron Fylon will be remaining in the NBA draft and foregoing his remaining college eligibility. We wish him the best. You know, I hope for his sake he has gotten very, very good, solid information from an NBA team that he's going to be a top, you know, 15 or 20 pick. Personally, I still don't see it. Just based off of the, you know, analysts and the mock drafts and things that I've seen, I've only been able to really find, I think, one that had him as a first-round pick, and it was 28 overall to the Celtics. But we will see.
Yeah, I got a buddy who's following it and says, oh, I don't see him being a first-round draft pick. And I said, I'm with you, Mason, and my friend. His ardent decision, I'm going pro, just tells me that either he's got some assurances that we're drafting in the first round or assurances that, hey, buddy, even if you slip, we're giving you a camp spot, we're giving you a two-way spot, something of the sort. I think that he doesn't make this move so surely, so confidently, we'll say that, confidently, if he doesn't have some sort of a... Because, the mocks don't love him.
No, I would certainly.
But those are all just writers and idiots.
Nobody really knows. Yeah, I hope for his sake, like you said, whatever information he's received, because that is seemingly what it is that he's gotten information that is he is so sure about, so credible to him, that he is going to either be a first round selection or have a spot secured on an NBA roster that he is, you know, comfortable enough saying I will not be returning to Alabama. I hope that that is true. I hope that some team is not just stringing him along or some agent is giving him bad information or something like that. We will just have to see. If he does fall to 28 to the Celtics, how ironic would that be? Is he just going to have the same career trajectory as J.D. Davison?
I think he's a better player.
Yes, I think he's a more developed prospect coming out. I think he's, you know, a little bit more polished than J.D. was. Maybe doesn't turn the ball over quite as much.
Yeah,
maybe
is J.D. a better shooter right now? Probably, because he's a pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're very similar players. That would sting.
Oh, that would hate that. I would hate it so much for him.
LeBaron comes in and gets J.D. cut. Oh, that'd be horrible.
That would be awful.
But J.D.'s good now. He'll find himself on a roster.
G League MVP. There's got to be value in that. And he's still, super young.
One of these the Wizards would love him. One of these bad teams.
One of these teams that got shafted in the draft lottery last week.
Terrible.
Yeah, ridiculous. 1.8% chance to get the number one overall pick, and your Dallas Mavericks will hold the. We'll be getting Cooper Flagg. You know what would be so funny is if they, zag and take Ace Bailey or something. That would be amazing.
What they need to just do is take Kamon Wallawash and play the best defense in the NBA.
Honestly, yeah. Oh man, NBA rigged.
Yeah, so we had friends this week go. Oh, rigged. And me and my other wrestling buddies were like, y'all make fun of us for liking WWE and wrestling, but y'all are sitting here telling yourselves that the NBA is real.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was a travesty of justice there for a lot of bad teams. Jazz being one.
Right. How could you support a small market team?
You can't in the NBA. It's like... I think we mentioned it this week on one of the Giannis Antetokounmpo probably going to be leaving the Bucks. I understand he got them their title and he did the thing, but man,
why would I get invested with the Hawks or the Pelicans? I know Herb Jones of the Pelicans and we love you, Herb. Great. Yeah. But why would I invest myself there?
I watched the best Pelican team that I can remember in my life go to the second round of the playoffs and get beat 4-2. It was not, it's just impossible if you're not one of the coastal elites in the NBA, basically. Or the Mavericks, apparently.
Go New York, go New York, go. Well, Dallas is the fourth biggest market. Yeah, when Chicago has been awful for two decades, Dallas takes that mantle.
Yeah, Chicago's problem is they just can't be bad enough. They're always, Dallas was a special spot this year because you trade Luka. I understand you were still a game out of making the playoffs, but it was such a huge thing where it was we got to fix it. And Chicago, they're awful, but they just bounce around being a play-in team or being right there on the cusp of the playoffs. And it's they have a terrible chance at getting the number one overall. They got to really tank. And then I think, yes, the NBA would absolutely rig it in their favor, but they just got to get there first. But that's all the NBA for today. A little bit of WNBA just before we get out of here. Both Sarah Ashley Barker, who was the 9th overall selection in this year's WNBA draft, and Aaliyah Nye, the 13th overall pick, made the final rosters for their new teams. Barker will be suiting up for the LA Sparks and is actually making her WNBA debut tonight against the Golden State Valkyries at 9 p.m. Golly, we gotta get these ladies some better tip-off times.
Well, 9 p.m. for L.A., that's 8.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
7. That's 7.
Yeah.
They're tipping at 7.
So, yeah,
7 local.
That's more doable for them then.
And I think they're on Ion, which I don't know if I have Ion TV or not. I'll have to look that up. Because I would like to see Sarah Ashley Barker.
Lee and I will be taking the court for the Las Vegas Aces on Saturday against the New York Liberty in her WNBA debut.
Becky Hammond, during training camp, the Aces coach called Lee and I one of the best shooters I've ever seen in my life.
Pretty high praise.
Yeah, and that lady's coached a lot of, you know, she coached the men for some time.
Yeah, what was it? She was Popovich's protege.
And so, Lee and I... making one of they actually had got a 13th roster spot exemption because one of their players has an injury that they kind of I guess it's their version of IR, but two Alabama rookies making the NBA WNBA rosters. I think Sarah Ashley Barker is going to make a little impact on that team. Now I think Aaliyah Nye, it's going to be a lot harder, not because Nye is bad. I think the Aces are loaded. From
yeah,
when I looked
really
through the, I looked at the roster, I said, "Oh, I recognize her name, her name, her name, her name, her name." And so I was like, "Okay, this is a good team."
Yeah. I think it's where Asia Wilson plays, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Kelsey Plum, Asia Wilson, they had a bunch. They had a bunch of
the new Asia Wilson commercial that I see on my TV like 40 times a day. I've gotten sick of it now, but it was really cool the first couple times I saw it. You know, so good on Nike there. They always come with the great commercials for the athletes. Oh, man, but unless you have any other WNBA takes, I don't think I have anything else for today. Anything else in general? That's all we've got for today's show. I want to thank everybody for listening. Remind you all to follow me and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_@JoeGaither6. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts from, and the same with the Joe Gaither Show. Leave us a 5-star rating. We'll be back next week to talk more Crimson Tide news on the All Things Bama Podcast.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.